Support for the Closing Market Report podcast comes from ADM. Their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments at adm.com/farmerview.
From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 22nd day of July, 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with the folks at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Look at the cash grain with the guys out at the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. And then we'll do the weather forecast with Chesapeake Energy up in Chicago, Illinois. Along the way, we'll hear a bit about what's been happening in Washington, D.C. during the week, and I'll update you on all kinds of agricultural news for this Monday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report. It does come to you from Illinois Public Media. It's a production of IPM at the U of I.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
Let's check the numbers now in Chicago as they finished up for a Monday afternoon. September soft red winter wheat at $6.59¾, down 4¾ today. December at $6.71¼, down 4 cents. The hard red finished the September contract in Chicago, rather in Kansas City, at $7.14¾, a settlement price down 2¾ cents. That's actually the December futures there. September did not trade. September corn futures, $5.40¾, down 3¼ in Chicago. December corn at $4.98, down 2¾, and the March at $5.10¼, 2½ lower. May corn futures, $5.18¼, down 2¼, and July at $5.24, 2½ cents lower for next year. The December 2014 contract unchanged today at $5.25¾. August soybean futures, $15.20¼, 29½ cents higher. September 13.48¾, up 22¾, and November beans at 12.88½, up 14½ cents. January futures 12.92½, 13¼ higher, and the March contract at 12.89¼, up 11½ cents. July contract in the bean pit 5¼ higher at $12.79½ for 2014. Bean meal futures at 5.02.40, up $20, and the bean meal, or rather bean oil, 9 cents lower at 45.41. Live cattle futures finished the August at 121.87½, a dime lower. August feeders at 152.92½ were up 67½ cents at the end of the day, and lean hogs at 97.12½, 65 cents higher in the August contract. This is Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, August contract, $106.91 a barrel, down $1.14. The RBOB gasoline trading at $3.05¼, 6¾ cents lower. Ethanol at $2.43, down 4¼ cents. And the spread is now 62¼ cents wide. That's a penny and 9 cents narrower than yesterday afternoon. Natural gas at $3.68¼. That's a dime and 6 cents lower for the day. And the diesel fuel, or the New York Harbor Ultra Low Sulfur Diesel, that's ULSD, $3.06¼, down 2½ cents. Gold futures at $1,336 even, finished $43.10 higher, and the U.S. dollar at 82.2, that's down 0.38 on the afternoon. We'll take a look at the weather forecast for the Urbana-Champaign area in just a moment as it comes from the National Weather Service. But do want to remind you to visit our website. The address there is willag.org. That's willag.org. I've posted my Twitter feed there, and if you were following it last week, you would have seen what I was up to in Haiti. I took a whole lot of photos, and there's now a link there if you want to see a bit more of Haiti. There are about 300 or 400 photos that you can thumb through really quickly. It's an easy way to do it. It's there at willag.org. Now, what's the weather forecast look like for Urbana-Champaign today? Mostly sunny skies and 85 degrees on a northwest wind at about 8 miles an hour this afternoon. Tonight, a 30% chance of showers, a few thunderstorms. Those will come after 8 in the evening central time. Mostly cloudy, a low of 69 degrees on a northwest wind. And Tuesday, a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Partly sunny skies and a high near 84. Tuesday evening, a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms. That before 8 in the evening and a low of 61 degrees. Mostly sunny skies on Wednesday and 77. The northeast winds then at 8 to 10 miles an hour. Wednesday night, partly cloudy and 59 degrees. By the time we get to Thursday, mostly sunny skies, a beautiful 78. Thursday night, clear and a low of 62. Friday, mostly sunny and a high near 80 degrees. Friday evening, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy and 60 degrees. And on Saturday next week, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, partly sunny, a high of 77. Saturday evening, thunderstorms, mostly cloudy and 60. And on Sunday, partly sunny skies and a high near 76. We'll take a more complete look at the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with the folks at Chesapeake Energy. They're in Chicago, Illinois, looking down from the Boeing building up on the 23rd floor, rather. Have a great view of the loop and other areas that they can see both to the north and the south.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM. Their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers ADM customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. On the phone line with us at this hour is Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Pete. Tell me about the marketplace as you saw it and what the trade was like for the day, please. Well, Pete, I thought, was with us. He should be. Well, we'll bring him back up in just a second and see where he went. Pete, are you with us this
morning? I am here. Oh, and you got me?
Yeah, I got you. Thank you so much. So tell me about the marketplace, please.
Tight crop supplies on soybeans plus huge UC gin. It's funny, the weather is supposedly negative for soybean growth. And then in corn growth, it's supposedly good, and we had beans come back some due to the soybeans dragging them. But old crop beans, very tight supply, both August and September, helping hold everything higher. Beans, or that was on corn, on beans. Corn lower, but came back from their lows. But still, good progress on the corn, and chances still of rains here in the next week, even though we haven't had much from all that we were supposed to get over the weekend.
Yeah, the marketplace always tries to look ahead. I suppose last week it was looking ahead to this week and the next week, thinking, can the corn make it through pollination and how will that happen? And now it's looking ahead a little further, saying, hey, wait a second, corn is probably okay,
right,
maybe, but the beans are now the crop we have to worry about, and then it'll change its mind later in the week, I suspect.
But that's kind of the way it is, and the cooler weather is helping corn a lot. And so they're not worried about the pollination, whereas August makes beans, and are we going to get any rain to make those beans come on?
When do you think, if at all, that the marketplace for corn, and we've got December at 498 this afternoon, will it move much lower than where it is now? And if it does, when might that happen?
I don't think we're going to go much lower than where we are now. The 90 has to hold, or it could drop quickly, unless we get a lot of good rain in the next 10 days. If we stay like we are with showers here and there and not everywhere, I think corn's going to hang around from 490 to 520 back and forth. If we get a lot of rain, I think you'll see it go on down. But once we get to the 1st of August, then we're going to worry all about the beans, and they won't worry much about corn because we do have a lot of moisture in the soil and an awful lot of the Midwest. But as you go western Illinois into Iowa and Missouri, they're short on moisture.
Yeah, just 7 or 8 days away now to the 1st of August. Would you advise producers, if we get to the 520 on the December contract, to think about making another sale of new crop corn?
We would do that, either make a new sale or hedge either way. And on beans, we would, we were 13.20 to 40 back and forth for a while. If we got to that level on new crop beans, we would go. August beans could drag another dollar higher, possibly. I don't know what the basis is out there on old crop beans, but they boomed today up 29.5 in the August.
Anything to talk about in the livestock sector for the day?
Livestock sector has tried and tried and tried since February in the cattle to go somewhere and really hasn't. Hogs, I don't know whether we're shipping as much hogs as we were before, but We have enough of those also for it to not really go back to those highs that we made in the last month.
All right. Thank you so much.
Have a great one.
Hey, you too. That is Pete Manhart. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report for this Monday afternoon. You can always hear our programming anytime you'd like on our website. The address there is willag.org. That's willag.org.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by Justin Wood, Paul Stevens, Tim Smith, Scott Harms, and Mark Soderberg of Archer Financial Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm. You can learn more about the services they offer at 800-637-3123.
Well, as time progresses this week, I'll try to tell you a bit more about my trip to Haiti last week. Although, I must tell you, I forgot that Dave was on vacation, that I would be filling in for him in the morning shows. I might be a little more backed up than I suspect that I would be, but I have to produce everything for the Illini Farm Report. That's my College of ACES site, and of course, that'll have to do with what we were doing in Haiti. It's a magnificent country, really very beautiful. The shores are nice, a little clean, or rather a little dirty. If you've been into some of those countries, you know that garbage removal isn't the highest priority, but the people there are friendly and clean, and they really are welcoming. They do need some help, but it's kind of one of the interesting points that we came across is that there are some 10,000 non-governmental organizations or NGOs, charitable organizations that are working in Haiti and have been since the earthquake, although admittedly, that may not be a great thing at this time. That's a kind of a tough statement to make, but there is a point at which free no longer works and the economy needs to be put into place. And that's a bit of the kind of work that the Illinois Soybean Association and the National Soybean Research Lab and the WISH program, which is the World Initiative on Soy and Human Health, does, where you walk into a situation and you use some humanitarian aid to help feed the people and then look for ways to help them feed themselves. Soybean producers, of course, are wanting to sell soybean meal into that country, potentially to chicken and broiler producers there. We had a conference on Wednesday of last week in the Carib Hotel. About 60 people there, 35 to 40 of them were producers. And frankly, farmers and producers, no matter where they are on the planet, always have the same questions. And some of them are really always the same. Give me the answer to what the feed ratio should be for bean meal and bean and corn, and then what the vitamin mix might be for the essential amino acids and such. But it was a really good day, and they were interested. They stayed for the entirety of that program. We had a really good poultry specialist, not from here on this campus at the U of I. They weren't available to go with us, but one from Iowa State University, and they used him really, really well. Asked him a lot of questions at the end of the day. It was a great trip. I have posted on my Twitter feed, which is also in the Will Ag website, all kinds of information if you haven't been there. And you could have kept up with me last week. I posted a link to photos, and I took about 350 that I kept. And those are all posted there. There's a link. You can go and look at all those photos if you'd like. We did visit a school, so there are lots of kids there, and the Food Nutrition Feeding Program for World Initiative on Soy and Human Health was the reason we were there. You take some TSP or texturized soy protein, and you top it off on top of rice and beans, but most of the time, and then you add a little protein to the starches that most people in third world nations consume on a regular basis. So you can take a look at that. I hope you enjoy those pictures. I'll try to bring you up to speed on some of the really more pertinent and poignant points as we make our way through this week and I get a chance to sit down and listen to what I've recorded and produce a bit from Haiti. I do appreciate the Illinois Soybean Association and the National Soybean Research Lab taking me along with them. And to Ron Moore from Monmouth and Joe Murphy from Harrisburg, and then from here on campus, Bridget Owen and to Courtney, I did really appreciate all the work that they did and the camaraderie that we developed over the last week.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
In today's agricultural news, a working group has been established in the House of Representatives to help write a nutrition bill that could win enough Republican votes for passage. While there are rumors the group includes more than 20 members, the Hagstrom Report released a list of 16 members, including House Majority Leader Eric Cantor. According to a Cantor aide, the leader is involved in a variety of outreach efforts with members to chart a path forward on the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, otherwise known as SNAP. The Hagstrom Report lists House Ag Chair Frank Lucas and committee members Bob Goodlatte and Steve King, along with Kristi Noem, as members of this nutrition bill working group. Well, a statement organized by the Rural Coalition, the Community Food and Justice Coalition, the National Family Farm Coalition, and the National Sustainable Agriculture Coalition demands Congress develop and pass a farm bill without further delay. The statement is signed by 262 small farm, religious, and other groups from all parts of the country, who call for the immediate appointment of conferees to work in an open and urgent fashion toward adopting a full and fair measure this summer. According to the groups, a full and fair farm bill must include farm, food, and nutrition, conservation and rural economic development programs, and commodity and crop insurance reforms. We'll stay in Washington, D.C., but broaden internationally. National Farmers Union President Roger Johnson has stated his organization's opposition to the proposed acquisition of Smithfield Foods by Shuanwei International in a letter to Treasury Secretary Jack Lew. Lew is chairman of the Committee on Foreign Investment in the United States. Johnson says the proposed buyout is extremely alarming to NFU members across the country. He's urging the committee to set a bold precedent that the administration values our farms, our food, and our rural economies so much that the federal government will stand up to take over of a large swath of agriculture. According to NFU, if the sale is permitted to move forward, Shuanwei would take control of a very large portion of the U.S. pork industry. Johnson says the cost of the acquisition far outweighs the benefits to Americans. He adds that the security of the domestic food system is threatened by foreign control. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM. Their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers ADM customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
Monday afternoon. Hey, you know, the House GOP is refusing to go to formal conference with the Senate on a farm bill until the House acts on a separate food stamp bill. The fight over farm bill processes and politics got really ugly Friday as House Democratic Whip Steny Hoyer asked GOP Majority Leader Eric Cantor if he plans to bring up next week a motion to go to conference. But it wasn't the farm bill Cantor wanted to talk about.
It is our hope that we can get a nutrition bill to the floor because we believe strongly that the programs under those titles providing a safety net to the country's most vulnerable, something important that we maintain, and we implement the kind of reforms to those programs that have long been called for by the GAO and others.
Now, that was not the response Hoyer wanted to hear.
3 weeks ago, you told me that the reason we passed that farm bill without the provision for nutrition, which had been in there for half a century, was so that we could go to conference. Well, now we're there, but there's no motion to go to conference.
Hoyer then asked Cantor if he was conditioning a conference on acting on nutrition first, even though food stamp cuts were what killed the farm bill in June and is the reason Cantor dropped nutrition from the farm bill that actually passed. But Cantor now says it's not about the farm bill after all.
We believe strongly that marriage of the two constituencies of the old farm bill was a marriage that began some 40 years ago. And frankly, it is a sense of the majority in the House that that marriage makes little sense.
And doesn't allow the kind of reforms and savings Cantor and House conservatives want to squeeze from food stamps. But more cuts won't sell with Democrats, House or Senate. And Senate leaders say they'll have no part of a farm bill minus food stamps that over 500 ag and nutrition groups also oppose. National Farmers Union's Chandler Gould says the House GOP has a problem. It cannot agree on how to proceed, has no nutrition bill yet, and it may not go to conference until September, which is a short legislative month.
I already feel very confident, though, that the conference is going to go past the expiration of the Farm Bill. Really, if you look at how many legislative days we have left in the year, I don't see this conference getting done until late October or November. So we're going to have another expired Farm Bill on our hands,
which must be resolved before January 1st when unworkable permanent law takes over. Questions now for the House GOP, Gould says. Or does the House now try to pass a nutrition title or conference without one and run the risk the Senate will press for a deal that cannot pass in the House?
Support for WILL Agriculture comes from Murray Wise Associates, LLC. Land auctions, farm management, financial services, and institutional and corporate real estate. Information on upcoming land auctions can be found at murraywiseassociates.com.
It's a Monday afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Let's check now the cash grain market. Greg Johnson is on the phone line from the Andersons right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Greg.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, tell me about what's been happening in the last week. I've been out of the country and need to kind of know how basis has been reacting to the marketplace.
Corn basis has been extremely firm. It's probably gotten about a dime better. We just need to get ration out this last little bit of corn through the last 6 to 8 weeks until we start seeing new crop harvest fill the pipeline back up. So until we are sure we've got corn coming into the pipeline, that old crop basis is going to remain extremely firm in corn. And bean basis has been firm up until this past week, and with the August futures going up almost every day, some of the processors that are bidding off of the August have dropped their basis a little bit, so they're still paying, you know, well over $17 or well over $16, excuse me, for beans. But the basis itself versus the August has dropped a little bit.
Okay, so let's deal with corn first, and then we'll come back to that $17 mark.
$16.
Oh, $16. Oh, sorry. Yeah, you know everybody's going to call and want
$17. Well, yeah, but, you know, if they move up 30 cents a day like they did today, give it a few days, and who knows, we may be at $17.
It might be. So that's for old crop corn, that is, which increased about a dime over the last week. What about for new crop? What's been happening there?
Nothing. Everybody's waiting to see what the pollination period does. And, if it looks like we're going to have a big crop, then you would think that maybe basis levels would weaken. But A, we're not through pollination yet. B, it's not ideal everywhere. It feels like pollination is going to be okay east of the Mississippi, Illinois, Indiana, Ohio. But west of the Mississippi, Iowa, Nebraska, looks to be a little iffy. They missed those rains, and so the jury is still out on how pollination is going to fare in the western corn belt. So, and C, farmers at these lower prices have not been very willing sellers. There's plenty of storage space that we'll need to fill back up this fall. So and maybe until we get a little bit closer to harvest time, basis levels are going to remain firm until the farmers start to sell, whenever that is.
And a very quick note on soybean basis, new crop.
Same thing there, and maybe even more supportive there because the old crop bean demand still seems to be there. So we're going to have to keep the basis extremely tight until we're sure we've got a big bean crop.
Hey, thanks so much.
Okay, thanks, Todd.
Greg Johnson is with the Andersons, joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Monday afternoon. I'll be back in a couple minutes. We'll take a look at what the weather forecast looks like with folks at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago.
It's National Pecan Pie Day. Tradition holds that the French invented pecan pie soon after settling in New Orleans, after native North Americans introduced them to the nut. The first recipe for pecan pie may have been published in an 1891 issue of the Ladies' Home Journal in the column Mrs. Roar's Answers to Questions. On this day in agricultural history in 1859, William Goodale patented the paper bag manufacturing machine. Whether he was the actual inventor of the device is unknown. Two others, Margaret Knight and Francis Wolfe, could also lay claim to the invention. The paper bag was the primary way to take home groceries until the 1970s, when supermarkets switched to the much cheaper plastic bags. In 1873, it rained frogs in Kansas City. Scientific American concluded the frog downpour must have been caused by a tornado or other land-based storm. In 1861, or perhaps 1864, George Washington Carver was born. A U.S. botanist, educator, agricultural chemist, and inventor, he developed hundreds of uses for peanuts, soybeans, and sweet potatoes. He established the George Washington Carver Research Foundation for Agricultural Research. In 1884, George Eastman was born, an American inventor and industrialist. He pioneered development of rolled film and the Kodak camera, which helped promote large-scale amateur photography. And in 1920, the Panama Canal was formally dedicated. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Let's now look at the weather forecast. Mark Russo from Chesapeake Energy in Chicago is on the phone line. Mark, thanks for being with us. I hear it was hot here last week, though. I was a little further south and more comfortable, I think, than maybe you were.
Well, with the certainly starting off last week, we had the very hot temperatures with a very unusual, unique situation. Hottest temperatures over the Midwest, and the further south you go, Delta or even onto the plains, actually the cool spot with that upper low that helped to at least produce some rain and produce the cooler temperatures. But at least down south, but yeah, quite an impressive week. Obviously, it's quite a change this week with temperatures getting back down to more normal levels. Some chances for precip now, you know, turning the attention to the forecast, but still this kind of drier pattern that the Corn Belt, especially the Western Corn Belt, has been in so far in July looks to hold here as we go through month's end and even into early August.
Early on now into this, the folks in parts of Nebraska, Iowa, maybe far parts of Western Minnesota seem to be getting worried. Are there reasons for them to do so?
At the present time, we agree with that. Based on what we've seen so far in July from a rainfall standpoint in those areas, as well as looking ahead when all is said and done this month and with precip expectations over the next week, looks like the vast majority of state of Iowa and some adjacent areas of Minnesota, Nebraska, northern Missouri, even western Illinois, will receive less than 50% of their normal July rainfall. So quite a change. We haven't had any kind of real prolonged heat up until this past week, so that's one thing where you're not just causing these excessive evaporation rates, but certainly things are declining from a topsoil moisture standpoint. There's some debate here as far as what subsoil moisture is across that area, but with certainly the dry pattern or below normal precip bias continuing, certainly some reason for concern.
Their temperatures will be off a bit this week from last week or not?
More so as we go through the middle to end of this week. If, for example, today you're again seeing high temperatures across the state of Iowa climb up into now around 90 or into the low 90s with minimum temperatures here overnight dropping down in the lower 70s or upper 60s. So last week we really saw the excessive warmth here on the minimum temperature side or the overnight temperature side of things, with minimum temperatures on most days down in the mid 70s. So as we go, especially the second half of this week, minimum temperatures can be expected to be dropping more so into the 60s versus the 70s that have been commonplace.
All right. Hey, thanks so much.
You're welcome, Todd.
That is Mark Russo with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. Joins us on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-3333.
800-446-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.